Alright, let's go. 2 Timothy 3:15 to 16. That from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We said that there is no way you can teach salvation without explaining the concept of sin. This is the reason why many believers don't understand the fact that we are saved from sin, yet believers still sin. But by the time you explain things, I think it becomes clearer. Right? Come on. It becomes clearer. You are saved from sin. Why do I still sin? And they say, well, Jesus has taken away sin, he has forgiven sin, and all that, there's no sin. You know, it's all a confusion for lack of clarity. Is it making sense here? Alright. So, can we give our own definitions? We might alter it in years to come. Can we give a definition of sin to be self? Can we locate sin in self? I'm talking about here. We don't have to. It doesn't have to become a book. I'm just saying that from our study. This is our last session for now. But what can you locate as, if you are going to call something sin nature, which of course is, there's no such. I don't know. What would you call it? Who can tell me from your submission what you have been observing and listening and reading, and of course your own studies after you left the services? What can you call the sin nature? No, I'm not saying there's a nature. I'm just looking for grammar. Okay, how can you summarize sin? Nobody. I'm not going to quote you. I mean, from your observation. Anybody? Yes. Hallelujah. No worry, they won't give you a mic. I'll listen to you alone. Huh? Did you attend all the sessions? Which session is this one? Session, what is this one? How many have you attended? Huh? From Monday? No. This is the 10th session. Okay, let's from Monday. The first shall be the last. Let me look for scripture for you. And it appeared unto me, who of the least you call an apostle, even though I was born out of due time. I've just given you. Go on. Okay. She said, sin nature, therefore, will be a man without the Spirit. That's quite it's nice. Any other person? Yes. Huh? Is what? Exercise of the will, independent of God. Right? Okay. What else? Yes. I shall give you guys Michael. You are teaching good. Man's refusal to take advantage of God's provision. So everything is a lack. So now, why then does a believer still sin? Is it explainable? Okay, good. I just want you to understand it. Is it explainable? So the imperfection of the believer is not an imperfection in God's work. I hope it's clear. Is it clear? Huh? Okay, who else has another definition? Come on, let's just ride on that. Any other person? Don't say, ha. No. Any other person? Just an observation you have. But is the subject of sin clearer to you? It's clear we shouldn't generalize. Right? But at the same time, we have two litmus test. Faith in God and love towards men. So, Adam's sin is in between the two. Are you getting this? You can't have sin without man. Does it make sense? Okay, think about it. Okay, let's go and see this. So, we want to throw Satan into the mix now. Because so far, a lot of that we have not really mentioned Satan. We should, some people, that's where they will start from. You know? Let's throw Satan in the mix. Look at some things that were said. Anyway, one of the things why I appreciate Kenneth Hagin, and you know, Kenneth Hagin, I'm reluctant to use this word, but I'll probably have to use it. Kenneth Hagin was balanced. I don't like that word. I think my bias against balance are the word I use it. Not that the word is wrong, but the annoying way it is used. But Brother Hagin was very, I said that to say this, he, in following him, now in listen to E.W. Kenyon, which I'm grateful. I mean, I read a particular month, I read all Kenyon books. And you know, they are not piecemeal. I read everything. And was that day, January 25, 1995, that I said, not in anywhere will I write a book. An ordinary, but the word I used that day was a year book. That this man wrote this book in 1898. And we're reading it and we're shaking. 1898. No, but then, you know, I just found out that in Kenyon materials was this tilt that wasn't well rounded. You know, I believe that his book, you know, on love, maybe cured a number. But, you know, several things. You can't read Kenyon's book and understand the local church. You can't understand the things of the Spirit. You can't, a couple of things, you know. But Brother Hagin brought it an all-rounder. Prayer, you know, how, you know, prayer is made. You know, he brought so many things in the preach. The issue of the local church, the issue of the subject of deliverance. He opened our eyes to see some things we had never seen. You know, the subject of, you know, walking in the Spirit, the subject of spiritual growth. You know, so many things were that he wrote on. He now gave me, and that's why, you know, it now, in the middle 90s, it was late 90s, it now gave me the reason to have a more universal picture in Bible study. That you shouldn't drive an opinion so strong against every other truth in Scripture. For example, E.W. Kenyon just said that tongues is not for everybody. And his basis was because of 1 Corinthians 12, do all speak with tongues. Which shows that he had very little understanding of the things of the Spirit. Even though he walked in that light big time. He said that. And Brother Hagin gave us much more light. You know that. So, I said that to say this. And this was the danger. When I saw the Grace Revolution too, I point out to many of you who can remember in the 2007-2008, I said there's a problem here. That this is the same thing. That they are driving a narrative too far. And not bringing into the light every truth. You know? And again, you know, what will always bail you out of Bible study is contextual. How many of you appreciate contextual reading now? You appreciate it very well. It will save you. You know, when you are doing contextual study, you won't generalize. Except, and you see, when you look at this, and I expect that many of you who teach, all of you do, to understand why I go into the detail I go into. So, when I take you through how words are used, I want you to see how it is used in different places. So that you have an overall picture. Are you following what I'm saying? Overall picture. That's why I'm never in a hurry. Because if I hurriedly teach you, even though I may know it, I will come off you nodding your head, but you don't really understand it. And anything I teach you that you don't have to go back to check and see it all over again, you didn't understand it well. You have to go back. Sit back. Sometimes you have to sit back. Because some of these things are products of months and years of thinking. They say, I caught it. A dear friend of mine used to tell me that, he's still my friend. Dear may be strong, but he's a friend. He said that what he does, that when he sees a series, if he's 15, he will take one. He will take 7 and 8, then 15, that he can understand everything that he's taught. I said, interestingly, for someone like me, that one and that 15 that you are trying to listen to, please, listen to 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, everything. If there's 15 B, go after it. It's vital. You know, so you can see the danger in reading. And I said about Great Revolution that they just focused. And you see, the narrative was driven all around. Jesus did this, Jesus did that. He talked to the woman, he talked to that woman. It was driven around that too far. And a lot of narratives were being driven that this is going off. And when, and anytime you go off like that, unstable men, when they grab a hold of it, you'll be amazed at the wonder they will do what you have said. You say, I didn't say it like that. We thought, or like some people think. When you say something, you say, that is to say. So therefore, Jesus took away sin. And you now dropped a word, you know, in just excitement. Hallelujah! Jesus took away sin. No, there's no presence of sin with us. I say, so therefore, sin is it. So therefore, so is this so therefore, people? I say, stop where your teacher has stopped. This is one of the ITK. I too know. So, Brother Hagin, for me, you know, helped out a lot. And someone like, I don't know why I'm saying this, it will help some of you out here. And Fred Price. Because Dr. Fred Price was the one who let me see how pastors should teach. That is, he's never in a hurry. And Chris Okote. Between the two of them. Nikote can teach a series for 3 years. 2 years. And it's 20 minutes sermon. So I asked him, because I met him once, I said, twice. I said, I asked him, he said, are they going anywhere? I mean, that gave me a perspective of pastoring I had never seen. Are they going anywhere? We sing, we just pray, we go, we come back next week again, and we say it again. And you know, that is really the local church. Of course, my own is not 20 minutes. That's the only difference here. but the truth is, what is the point? Praise the Lord. If Paul could still be writing to Timothy, and then a man learns for the rest of his life. So there are things we just learn, you know, around people, and we see. And when people say experience doesn't matter in ministry, I think you are foolish. Experience matters a lot in ministry. A lot. A lot in ministry. Praise the Lord. Wow. Why did I say all that now? I hope it's useful. So, contextual reading will always help you in the way you reason. Always look at it. What was he saying? What was he talking about? Now, we said, let's throw in Satan in the mix now. Matthew 16:22, and Satan has been mentioned also in the subject of sin. So we zeroed in sin to two things: faith in God. The absence of that is death. Love towards men The absence of that is no reward. So there are actually works to Christianity. But it's not works for salvation. Is that very clear? Uh-huh. Matthew 6:22. Love towards men without faith in God, in self-righteousness, is also sinful. That's boasting in self. Matthew 6:22. And this was after Peter said to Jesus, I mean, after he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus said unto him, in verse 22, be far, so he said to Jesus, be far from me, Lord. This shall not be unto you. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art offense. The word there is a trap unto me. For thou savourest not the things that be of God, but be of man. Look at that. You savour not the things that be of God, but be of man. So, what did you see in that statement? Please, I need people to think quickly. What is in that statement? You are a trap to me. You savour not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. One word for what he's talking about. Selfishness. So, again, we said, we can wrap up what is called sin into what? Self. Ephesians chapter 2. Learning something here? And you were dead in sins and trespasses, or trespasses and sins. Verse 2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience. Among whom we all had our current time passed in the lust of our flesh, the lust of the mind, and we are by nature children of wrath, even as others. You will discover that Paul's writing, you know, when he said, we heard of your faith and love for all saints, his writing to the Ephesians church was twofold. Faith in God, which he mentioned in chapter 2, chapter 3. By the time he got to chapter 4, walk. That walk is love. Ephesians was split into two. Faith in God, what it does. And then love towards men. Lie not one to another. Do not be angry. Forgive. Hallelujah. Husbands, wife. It's about conduct amongst men. I say it often. The love of God is his wisdom amongst men. That was a bit fast for me. Ephesians 4:26. Look at this. Be angry and sin not. I've arranged that sentence for you. Okay? Be not angry and sin. That's what he said. That's the sentence arrangement. Be not angry and sin. That is, the anger is what? Sin. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. I think the word there is tropos. I'll get back to it shortly. So go to John 8. Jesus makes outstanding explanations here. John 8:44. You are of your father, the devil. You know, Jesus was very, he was very pointed. And the laws of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no lie, there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. We need to trace what he said from verse 1. And I want you to give me all your concentration. You have been doing that from verse 1. Now, verse 1 was, he sat down and taught in verse 2, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken adultery, and when they had set her in the midst. Now, it is said in, and you don't have to bother yourself about this, but it is said, you know, by a lot of translators that this particular, and I saw it myself, that this particular story, you know, had a different language carriage. It was very different. So it is assumed that it must be one of John's teaching that he wrote about Jesus, but not totally from this particular letter. But it's as tested as true, you know. And I wonder, why would that happen? Because this story was so important. It was so important to have been retained. Look at this. So they caught her in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, then they said unto him, Master, this woman was taking adultery in the very act. Question is, where is the man? Now Moses in the law commanded us. Can you say they have come again with that? That such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? They said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. He stood down his finger, wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone. At this point again, he is not talking sin nature. The word without sin there is an adjective. Anamatitos. I'll spell it for you. Anamatitos is an adjective. Without sin. Now, that word, you know, when you have alpha in the Greek, that is what? Negative? Okay? That is alpha amatano. So he's not talking about, amatano is what? A verb. So he that has not sinned, that's what he's saying. So he's not referring to sin nature. He that has not sinned. Don't forget the issue was adultery. Just like we have said from the onset, Jesus doesn't give a corporate name. He that has not sinned. It is he that has not committed adultery. Let him cast the first stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then they that had it been convicted by their own conscience. These are good guys anyway. And they are good guys because the guys just say, it's true, I don't have. You know, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. The youngest are usually the most zealous. They waited. What? But the eldest understood. Because they are old enough to know they had sinned. So they just left. Even to the last, Jesus left alone and the woman standing in the midst. Leader of the book, Abraham said, look, woman, where are thine accusers? Pay attention now. He uses the word kategoros. 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 Very strong word. Whenever you see the word kategoros, it's always a charge brought against you. A charge. It doesn't mean you have not done wrong. It's time for you to pay for it. Where are those asking you to pay for it? Jesus has not said you have not sinned. Where are those asking you to pay for it? You see the word kategoros used in Acts 23, verse 30 and 35. Acts 23, verse 30 and 35. Acts 24, verse 8. Always about when they brought someone to a judgment seat. It's used for judgment. Acts 24, verse 8 is to a judgment seat. Acts 25, verse 16 and 18. Of course, you know the person involved here is Paul. He was accused. They brought charges against him. Things he has done wrong, which he must be punished. Revelation 12:10. Who accuses us daily before the Father? So where are your accusers? Hath no man condemned you? You use the word there. The word condemn is katakrino. Judgment. A judgment against you. Hath no man brought a judgment against you. And the woman responded and said, no man, Lord. Don't forget the word Lord there is Sir. Doesn't mean she's born again. And Jesus said unto her, neither I. No, I'm particular about this. Neither I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. No, there's a challenge here. Because if he meant go and don't commit adultery again, then we resort to self-righteousness. So, we will have a problem. That problem will be of generalization. So, no more here is the word none. From now on, at this time, is the word makati amatano. From now. Now, the challenge will now be, is he talking about adultery? Notice that the guys who accused the woman went away. And notice that the people that brought her to Jesus were Pharisees and the scribes. So, he says, no man, pay attention to this, this is vital. And sin no more. Then she now said, the next statement is critical. I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Why did he say that? Was the woman following him? No. Are you following what I'm saying? So, what will be the instruction he's giving to her from henceforth? That's all. It can't be, don't sin again. No. Follow. I am the light of the world. For God sent not his son to the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. So, the sin of verse 11 is not the sin of verse 7. Don't they realize? He explained it. So look at the discussion afterwards. Verse 13. Look at that narrative. We read down to 23. They now said, you bear record of yourself. Your record is not true. That's what the Pharisees now responded. I said, well, I bear record of myself. My record is true. For I know whence I came, whither I go. You cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. You judge under the flesh. I judge no man. Look at 15. And so discussion went on. And they asked him in verse 19, where's your father? You neither know me, he told them, nor my father. If you had known me, you would have known my father also. This word Jesus spoke in the treasury. He taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for this hour has not come yet. Then he said again, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and you die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Pay attention. So you will die in your sins. That's strong from Jesus. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he said, whither I go, you cannot come. Then he said unto them, you are from beneath. Very clear words. And from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins, for you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. Is it clear now? So, their dying in sins is a result of what? Unbelief. Now, he's not passing a sentence on them, he's only explaining the consequence of unbelief. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And he said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Just as you know what he speaks of the Father. Then he says, when you see the Son of Man lifted up, the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he. That's the resurrection now. I do nothing of myself, for as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. Are you following this? Are you following this? And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he said these words, many now believe him. Believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my words, are you my disciples indeed? And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall what? What was he discussing? His going. That is his death and resurrection for what? Sins. That is, continue. That is, keep listening to what I'm saying about salvation. Keep listening to what I'm saying. Then you shall be my disciples indeed. You will know the truth. Who's following this at all? And the truth, we'll see what the truth is, shall make you free. Now, that word, set free, it is linked to what we are reading earlier. Do you know, he said, because you believe me not, you will die in your sins. He started by talking about condemnation, being brought to judgment for sins. Neither do I condemn you. Where I go, I am the light of the world. So by saying, you shall know the truth. The truth, obviously, is Jesus' work to discharge man's obligation for sins. Pay attention. The word he uses for free here is to be exempted from an obligation. Eleutheros in the Greek. Eleutheros. Eleutheros. See where it is used. Every time it is used, the law is in view. Romans 6:18. Hope you are following this, please. Are you following this? Romans 6:18. Being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Romans 6:22. And now being made free from sin, have become servants of God. You have your fruit unto holiness and end everlasting life. Romans 8:2. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8:21. Different now. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. So it is freedom. Can you see that when it is used here, it's freedom from death. That is the wages of sin. Galatians 5:1. Stand in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So what he's saying, in other words, is that you will not be under the obligation to pay the penalty for sin, which is death. Let me see if you understand this. So John 8:32, you shall know the truth. It's not knowing the truth about prosperity. Amen? Or nation building. You shall know the truth. And the truth here is a person shall make you free. That is, the work of Jesus for sins. Then they ask, they say, we be Abraham's seed and we never embody to any man. Can you see the point? That we are not paying any obligation to any man. What do you now mean you shall be made free? Then he answered them. Verily I say unto you, I need you to follow this one. He says, whoever commits sin is a servant of sin. I like the way the Greek puts it, which is absent in the King James. It is whoever practices the sin. That is it. The article D is before the word sin. H-O in the Greek. The sin. Sorry, H-O-T-E. Ote. Specific is a servant of sin. Now, why did he say that? It was a response to what they had just said. What they had just said It's not difficult from what Israel told Moses before he gave them the law. Whoever commits the sin, here, the sin will be what? Unbelief. It's a servant. Pay attention. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides. Hope you are following this. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen of my father, with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your own father. So see how it changes father quickly. Abraham is their father. Then he said unto them, if you were Abraham's children. So he moves from natural to what? Good. You will do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Which two things can you identify in the statement? Unbelief and what? Hatred. Are you following this? Two things. You seek to kill. Let's follow through. Let there be no fornication. We have one father, even God. Then he said, pay attention here. If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came out of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. So he uses the word pater diabolos. P-A-T-E-R for pater. A founder. A founder. Not someone that gave birth to in this context. Okay? Diabolos is used 38 times. And I want you to listen to what it means. It's somebody who accuses. But in a stronger way, diabolos is used in Greek with language for somebody who slanders. What is a slanderer? Somebody who says what is not true. Or who twists facts. Look at Luke 16:1. It's also used for someone who brings accusation and charges. Look at Luke 16. We'll put your hands in John 8. We're coming back there. Luke 16:1. There was a rich man, said rich man, which had a steward. The same was accused unto him that he wasted his goods. That is, was brought forth to him that he wasted his goods. Diabolo. To bring charges. So verse 44 in John 8. Go back there quickly. You are of your father, or you are of the slanderer, the devil. You are of the slanderer. That is the devil. You are of your father, the slanderer. And the loss of your father. Are you back there? Epithumia. You will do. The word do is the word thelo, to show intention. Then he says, he was a murderer from the beginning. This word murderer is quite different from the word used for murder, which you will see. The word used generally for murder is the word phoneo. P-H-O-N-E-O. Matthew 22:7 for murderers. Acts 3:14, how they murdered Jesus. Matthew 22:7. Acts 3:14. Acts 7:52. Again, the same murder of Jesus used by Stephen. Acts 28:4. When they accused Paul of being a murderer. 1 Peter 4:15, that a Christian must not suffer as a murderer. 1 Peter 4:15. I'll take it again. Matthew 22:7, Acts 3:14, Acts 7:52, Acts 28:4, 1 Peter 4:15, and of course, Revelation 21:8, Revelation 22:15. But the word used here is quite different. John 8:44. He was a murderer. The word there is anthropos theino. Anthropos is used for what? Man. A-N-T-R-O-P-O-S. And theino, K-T-I-N-O. K-T-E-I-N-O. K-T-E-I-N-O. That is anthropos theino. It means killer of man. Destructive. Let's see. The only place where this word is used is by John. The same John. 1 John 3. And verse 15. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And he knows, we know that no murderer has eternal life in him. So the issue here is actually hatred. Hatred for man. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. When he speaks a lie, the word pseudo, P-S-E-U-D-O-S. It means to twist the truth. So, can you remember who told you? So the attention of Satan was to take man away from God's provision. Who told you? Accuser. Says, he is the father of it. So, Jesus' focus here is the truth about who? God. The truth about God and his provision, allow me to use that, for man. So, he's a liar and the father of it. So, within this, we can see unbelief. Are you there? And what else have we seen? Hatred. Again, can you see the two things the law of sin and death points out? Unbelief and what else? Selfishness. Are you there? Are you following this? Love. So, he now says in verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. What is the truth? Jesus will be what? The sin bearer. When you know the Son, he will set you free. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. So, what is, now let's hold on there. What will be Satan's act in this mix now? Who can put it out? Huh? It is still self. Is glorified in self. Remember, we said the things, the love of this world is in self. Absence of faith in God, and obviously an absence of love for men. So he says, I tell you the truth and you believe not. So when Jesus says that whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin, is it applicable to the believer? Eh? No. Because the sin there is specific. Who's following this? You can't take this one now and build a sermon on it to Christians. Are you getting what we are saying here? He has told you what he was talking about. So, when he told that woman, go and sin no more. Is it clear now? I am the light of the world. So, don't generalize it. But is adultery a sin? Good. And the unbelief is a greater sin. Is that clear? Is that clear? It's classified as sin, but it's weighty. Because Jesus is there, say, I go. You cannot come. Because you will die. You see. And why would they die? Because of unbelief. I hope that is clear. Now, so it says his desires you will do. Matthew 16:22-23. Get behind me, Satan, for you are a trap unto me. So, was Jesus tempted there? Huh? There was a temptation offered him. But is it at all points like as we are? No. He says, you are an offense unto me. You savourest not the things that be of God, but that be of men. Because unbelief and lack of love was witnessed in that statement. So we said, pay attention. It still focuses on the same thing, self. Epithumia. In Ephesians 2:1-3, self. Epithumia. In Ephesians 4:26, give no place to the devil. Give no place to the devil. Do not be angry and sin. Do not sin. Don't be angry. Give no place to the devil. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You are put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. How did he describe God? God who is rich in what? Mercy. In the same book. With the great love wherewith he loved us. By grace are you saved. He has presented God to you as one who saved in his love and his mercy. So if he says you are put on the new man which after God, what was Paul preaching? Love. Faith and love. All the apostles taught that way. I think I showed you that. Right? Faith, James 2. Faith and love. Faith and love. So the love here is the fruit of what? Faith in God. So the gospel is this focus. Can we say faith in God defeats self? Huh? So the cure to sin is faith in God. So the law saw this in man and then it charged man for it. It wasn't new. The law just charged man for it. Elogia. Sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed. So therefore, forgiveness of sins can be viewed in two ways. And that's how the apostles taught it. You know, we said that. Okay, can be viewed in two ways. The word is aphesis. Aphesis can be used for deliverance or to be set free from paying a debt, or you yourself is set free, or the debt is set free. But something grows in the word aphesis. So, give me your ears. I'll just whet our appetite for now. Like I said, when we see love, sin, and death, we'll bring all this under it. But I just want to get you thinking. So Luke 24:47, look at it. And Luke 4:18. To preach the gospel to the poor. Let's have a Luke 4:18 first. to preach the gospel to the poor. Luke 4:18. To heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Ephesus. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Freedom. So, is that the same thing? You shall know the truth, it will make you free. Huh? That means freedom from pain and obligation. Is that right? Is that correct? Okay. Now, Luke 24:47. Repentance and repentance. Now, let me ask you this quickly. Was this available before the law was given? Huh? Was it available during the tenure of the law as well?
Yes.
Okay, good. Luke 24:47. Repentance and remission of sins will be preached in his name. Matthew 26:28. For the remission of sins for many. Now, look at Luke. Sorry, listen. Colossians 2:13. And then we'll now go to Ephesians. And you being dead in your sins and sanctity of your flesh, are he what? Huh? Quickened together with him, have been forgiven you all trespasses. Quickened. So, what is he saying here? He's saying here that there's a new birth in forgiveness. It's in focus. That's why he used the word flesh. The word flesh there is not the physical body. No, it's not. So go to Ephesians 2. So that quickened is a supply of life, right? Huh? Good. Ephesians 2. And you who were dead in trespasses and sins, pay attention to that. When in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Now, so the dead there will be the absence of God's Spirit, right? Absence of God's Spirit. So, when in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our confession in time past, in the flesh, in the lot of our flesh, putting the desires of the person of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Look at verse 4. God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love wherewith he loved us, when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places or in heavenlies in Christ. Now you need to back up a bit to chapter 1, where he mentions in womb verse 7, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. wherein he had abounded unto us in all wisdom and prudence. He said this because of verse 5. Adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. He's teaching the new birth. In verse 13, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of the salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession of the praise of his glory. And what did he teach this as? Just look at the Pauline prayers. That you may know what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance where? In the saints. And the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe, according to the work of the mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand. So his explanation of forgiveness of sins there, has to do with the new birth. It is not the sin alone he is dealing with. He's talking about the man now. So the man is an issue. You are. So says the glory of the riches of his inheritance in the saints. That's why Ephesians 2:10 says you are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So there is a supply. There's a supply of God's Spirit. A supply called the new man. That which is born of the flesh, his flesh. That which is born of the Spirit, his Spirit. So, can we say therefore that this forgiveness of sins relates with the supply of the Spirit in the man in Christ? And also, if now, pay attention, it has now brought us to a Spirit-controlled life. A Spirit-controlled life. Not an independence. An independent spirit, which is called death. But a Spirit-controlled life. It isn't just that you are the workman of God, created in Christ in good works. Amen. Which God had ordained that you should what? Walk in. So, we are walking now in God's forgiveness. He has taken away sin and he has supplied his Spirit. So, we are walking in it. Walking in what he has done. So, forgiveness of sins now is not just a pardon of wrongdoing. It's a release from a fleshly ruled life to a Spirit controlled life. Who is following this? Can you see this? A release. Pay attention. So let's go to 1 John. Let's just First John, verse 16, a very, very ambiguous text, I must tell you. I don't want to talk about it, we leave there quickly. If any man see his brother sin a sin, not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life, for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that you shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. Now, a lot of people have conjured this and tried to see what it means. But I think our best bet is to track back to some things he said earlier. 1 John 3:14. We know that we are passed
from death to life. Because we love the brethren. That's quite bad translation. It's the word otai in the Greek, which is used for either because, then, or that. Or because of this, we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. That's the first time we find him talking about death in this instance. Abides in death. Are you following? Are you following? Then go to verse 8. He that commits sin is of the devil. For the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remains in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, now pay very good attention. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness, the word righteousness there means what is not right, is not of God. Neither he that loves not his brother. Is that clear now? So, what thing is he talking about? Hatred. Are you getting this? Are you following this? He's talking about what? Hatred. Follow this, please. So we can shed some light. Go back to 1 John 3. Behold, but let's say 1 John 2:29. If you know, and I've gone to so many texts, but let's say, if you know that he's righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of God, of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us. So the righteousness is referring to here is what? Huh? Love now. It's love. That is, we should call the sons of God. Before, because the world knows us not, because he knew him not. Beloved, now with the sons of God, it does not yet appear shall be, for you know that when he shall appear, shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that has this hope in himself, in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. In him is no sin. So, what is this he's talking about? What is this he's talking about? The love of God. Whosoever abides in him sins not. Whosoever sins not has not seen him, neither knows him. Every time Paul says, John says, sorry for the Paul, man. I'm not blamed for that. Every time John says, has not known him, has not seen him, what was he talking about in the whole epistle? Love. Are you there? So he says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. What is he talking about? What is he talking about? What is the righteousness he's talking about? Love. To do the right thing. Diakosune. He that commits sin is of the devil. What sin is he talking about? The same thing he's saying. For the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. The word seed there is sperma. You are his child. And look at 10. Let's take 10 together. And you have never heard? Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither does he that loves not. So the righteousness is what again? Good. So the sin he's talking about is what? Okay. For this is the message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should what? That we should what? Love one another. Not as Cain, which was of the wicked, was slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we are passed from what? From where? Because we love the brethren. That is, because of this we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides where? 15. Whosoever abides hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. I hope you are following this. Very good. Whereby we perceive the love. Because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I hope that is clear. Okay. So, let's track back a bit. You know, we're looking at 1 John 5:16. So, obviously, from the beginning, what John starts his letter with is the fellowship we have from God. God's offering, which he now calls his love. He mentioned how in the blood of Jesus is the forgiveness of sins. So, it's very heavy on Christ's sacrifice as God's love demonstrated to us. It's very heavy on it. And just like all the apostles, he uses that to mirror our conduct. Is it clear? So, he will talk about God's love for us. He may talk about our love for others. That if we are born of God, we will do what the Father does. Say, I'm born of God. I do what the Father does. Let's follow this. So, by the time we get to 1 John 4, he's following the same. In fact, in 1 John 3, he says, we have faith in Christ, and then we love one another. That's how we know that the Spirit of God abides in us. We are of God. As he is, so are we. The love of God dwells in us. Whatever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the vision that overcomes the world, even our faith. So, having said all that, he now says that in 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That eternal life said that you believing on the name of the Son of God, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask. We know we have the petitions that we desire of him. 16. If a man see his brother, sin is sin not unto death, he shall ask. And he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. What has he so far called sin unto death? Huh? Good. So far. The only ambiguous thing there is the pray for it. And we will unbundle it later. So he says, all unrighteousness is sin. Which he has already called hatred. Said, but there is a sin unto death. That is, he had already called it unrighteousness earlier. Are you following this? So, the next statement, we know that whatsoever is born of God sins not. As he said that earlier, what was he talking about? Love. So, the unrighteousness he mentioned earlier, and the righteousness is related to what? Love. Hope that is clear. He now says, the wicked one touches him not. Where did he relate the wicked one earlier? Cain. Who hates his brother? Are you following this? So we are born of God. Now he now says, the whole world lies in wickedness. What did he say earlier? What was in the world? The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. And what? The pride of life. He says he lies in this wickedness. The word lies is the word keimah. K-E-I-M-A-I. That is, it is situated. That is selfishness. The self. He says he lies in wickedness. So far, you know, the focus of John was in faith in God and love towards. So the sin unto death has to do with love. Who agrees? Who agrees? Let me see if you agree. The sin unto death has to do with what? Love. Is it unbelief? No. It's not unbelief. He has said it earlier. Like I said, what is only ambiguous is the word pray for it. Which
If you look at it closely, I don't want to focus on it anyway. It has to do with desire. Desire. Similar to what James said in James 4:3. But let's be silent on it for now. So the sin unto death will be what? Walking in the flesh. Because the focus is love and hatred. We say whatever is born of God, which is to walk in the Spirit. Say the wicked one doesn't touch us. So John used a figure of speech in warning believers of not walking in the flesh. He reminds us of our true nature in Christ. Who's following this? So he's not talking there generally. He has been focused on love when he mentions death. And you see where Paul also used love as a fruit of righteousness. Look at Philippians 1. Hope you are learning something here. Are you learning something here? Verse 9. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Let me ask you, what do you call the righteousness of God? It is love for us now. Right? Okay. That your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That you may approve things that are excellent. That you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. Being filled with what? See, Paul, he calls it the fruits of righteousness. God's righteousness. Which he calls to be without offense. James 3. So have we seen where righteousness was used for love? Have you seen it? James 3. Verse 13. Who is a wise man? And endue with knowledge among you. Let him show out of a good conversation his works and meekness of wisdom. If you are bitter, envying, and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. He's talking about love. Huh? Okay, good. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be treated. It says full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Can we take verse 18 together? The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So, love is called the fruit of righteousness. Is that clear? Is that clear? So, what John was saying in 1 John 5:16, is he related to love? The sin unto death? Huh? Let me see if I'm understanding this. Come on. Come on, let me see. Raise your hand. Come on. Let me see whether we're on the same focus. Good. Well, within that letter, so it's not blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You get it? That text is very ambiguous. It's one of the very few texts that are very ambiguous. It doesn't derail from the truth of God's word, even if you don't know it. But it's very, very ambiguous because of certain verbs he uses later. But the fact is that within that letter, what he calls sin and death together is love and hatred. So the man that is born of God is incapable, he says. So the only way he can walk in this is by walking in the flesh. Is that very clear? Is that clear? Look at Matthew 6. So God's righteousness is what? His love for us. God commended his love towards us. He says that he might be just and justified. And he was talking about the same thing. Quickly. Matthew 5. No, Matthew 6. Okay, Matthew 5 first. Hope you are learning something here. I see some hearts are beating. That means I can commit the sin unto death. Don't let your heart beat. Just walk in love. some guys are so afraid of the truth that the minute he gives them responsibility, the minute he says, were you learning God's word not to live right? Why is it? Say not to death. What death, sir? He had told you, he that hates his brother does not have eternal life, right? Abiding in him. He now told you. This is the covenant that we have. No, sorry. That this is the right thing, that you may know that you have what? Eternal life. That means you are capable of what? Love and not hatred. Amen. And whatsoever is born of God. He said the wicked one doesn't touch. So we can't have the wicked one in us. We are capable of loving others. Hallelujah. Alright, see. Let's go. Matthew 5:44. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. So you see that the Bible is loud on love. Can you see it? Very loud. Do good to them. No, sorry. Loud on faith in God and love from faith in God. I hope that is clear. So don't say love. Say, for God is love. So say, take away. So when you see a lady, say, I got you. Since God is love, say, I'm guarding you. Say, God is love. I got you. It's not just God. I devil you. Bless them that curse you. We'll get to that text shortly. That curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that will use you and persecute you. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he makes his son. See how he explains it. To rise on the evil and the good. And sends rain on the just and on the unjust. If you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same. If you salute your brethren only, why do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do the same. Be ye therefore perfect. Even as your heavenly Father which in heaven is what? Why does he call him perfect? Love. So, in the popular Lord's Prayer, which are affirmations, see what he says. Our Father which art in heaven, verse 9, chapter 6, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will is done on earth, it's in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Watch this. You forgive us our... I want your eyes to open here. Our debts. Pray. Follow this. So that we forgive our debtors. You lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is thy kingdom, thy power and thy glory forever and ever. Amen. What was the essence of that statement, that affirmation? Verse 14. For! So, all he was talking about is God's forgiveness. God's love. For if you forgive men their trespasses, as your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, it is not as your heavenly Father will forgive your trespasses. He's not asking you to forgive so that the heavenly Father will forgive. So if you don't forgive, the heavenly Father will not forgive you. That means the heavenly Father is living in sin. If you do me, I do them, I do you. No. The heavenly Father is the model that we copy. It's his forgiveness that we are mirroring. So it's a syntax mixture. Who's following this at all? The syntax error. So the essence of that Lord's Prayer was to see the Heavenly Father and forgiveness. All forgiving. All kind. All good. So he uses the word aphiemi, paraptoma, in all that statement. In 1 Peter 4:18, Peter says, love covers the multitude. The multitude of sin. Verse 8, sorry. The multitude of sin. It seals it up. In 2 Peter 1:9, he says, look, if you don't walk in love, say you are blind. You can't see afar off. You have forgotten that you were also purged from your sin. So spiritual growth
is sin, the indices for spiritual growth is love. And that is what motivates ministry. And that's why you cannot say you are growing as a believer and you are not involved in the work of the ministry. How? Because the demonstration of the love of God upon salvation is service. I mean, look at the school song of government college. If you like, don't write this down. It says, service to all, that's not to self. That is so biblical. The motto of my school is built on the rock. Christ Jesus. you are mocking me. First John 3. Hallelujah. We are going in the Word. You know, you can see that the beauty of the knowledge of God's Word is that we just see the beauty of God. And it reflects in our character immediately. You know why? Because we are born of God. We know we have that capacity. His seed abides in us. That's why John said, look, the wicked one cannot touch this man. So that is eternal security. I know your conduct is bad, but the wicked one does not abide in you. God abides in you. So he said all that. So when he was, after saying that, said, we know the Son of God has come. He has given us an understanding that we may know the one and true God. Then he says, therefore, little children, flee from idols. It's false, don't walk in the flesh. I hope that is very clear. That's how we ended that letter. Flee from idols. Flee. The born of God, or flee. Does it make sense? So John teaches the same thing. James 2. So their letters were strong on the love of God. Hope that is clear to everybody. James 2. My brethren, verse 14. Though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says unto him, depart in peace. I see God supply your needs. I see him move on your behalf. I sense in my spirit. You guys, were you born again when you say spirit? Did you meet that thing? The Holy Spirit. He was taken from America, from a particular man of God again. Because he is a pseudo-Jew, but Armenian and American. He goes, the Holy Spirit. So some Niger boys, I say, Holy Spirit. That's why I say, Holy Spirit. I'm not, who meant that? This is nice to say, Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit. So if you want to really sound like a ghostly person, just say, oh, the Holy Spirit. And it was really a spirit, really. That thing was a spirit. Where were we? Verse 17. So faith, you know, this is, it can be, so the faith is better. Another syntax issue here. If it hath not works, is dead, being alone. What he's saying is this. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons. So he's saying, salvation, is that clear? Without works. What works is he talking about? Love. So it's not salvation without going to your office. The works of faith is what? Why? Because the reason for faith is the love of God. The seed for, so if, the, let's just use this very funny analogy. So if the love of God is the seed sown in our hearts, the fruit will be what? Love. It profits nobody that you are born again. You are born again, saved. You are a son of God. But the profiting is in your walking in the Spirit. Walking in love. So when you say faith without works is dead. So he said, look, and you know, James the pastor. He said, so what is it you believe? He said, demons don't believe and tremble. Emoji. Love people. Behave yourself. As among you, you have strife. And you justify it with scriptures. With scriptures. You will justify it with scriptures.
The Bible says, and you go for Old Testament. After explaining to people how a pastor doesn't have an obligation, you cannot stand on the pulpit and then be saying, don't vote for this person. Or stand on the pulpit and be declaring yourself for presidency. That's a total misunderstanding of your call. Someone else said, but the Bible says Samuel stood up to this one. How many years did you go back? I mentioned Jesus. I mentioned Paul. You know, I went to Samuel. Samuel stood up. Said the prophet of, where are the prophets of old? When the kingdom of God is not by observation. And you are now saying, we want to enforce the kingdom of God in Nigeria. So you are a political prophet. That's what you are. Know your ministry. Nobody has called you human rights activism. At all. When they came to Jesus and said, who should we pay tax to? Alakoba. You know Alakoba in Yoruba? In English it means to bring to. Proago. What Alakoba in English? Give me a very correct word. To cause to stumble. Say give unto Caesar. Right? Paul says you obey them who are in authority. Peter says, honor the king. He didn't say vote. Vote them out. Vote them out. Who would take it? And then Paul got up and he said, they want to Romanize the church. That's the Roman Empire. They want to Romanize the church. Now what do? We Jewishize it. Hallelujah. You know, one day let's go further. I think we should. Matthew 5:17. So Matthew 5:17, I've not come to destroy the law, but to what? Can we read but to love? Would that be correct? Jesus' fulfillment of the law was love. Correct? Is that correct? He got to the height of love for his neighbors. We became his neighbors the minute he became a man. Amen. Is that clear? And he fulfilled the law. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? You learning something here? So, love is that fulfillment. Love from faith in God. Look at Romans 13. Look at what Paul said in Romans 14:13. Let's sit down quickly. Romans 14:23. Whatever is not of faith, he says is sin. Persuasion. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Meanwhile, in 1 Corinthians 8, the same scenario. He says, love edifies. So on the part of the guy who is ignorant, he must do whatever he does by faith. On the part of the guy who knows, he must act in what? Love. What does love do? Love considers that person. Just something to think about. Look at Romans 13. Verse 8. Let's take it together. Verse 8. No man anything but love one another. The word O is the word Ophelio. what you ought to do. O-P-H-E-I-L-O. That is, you ought to love. Owe no man nothing. Do not deprive men of this, but love. I remember one preacher said, owe no man nothing, and he stopped there. A Christian was not owe. And that thing went out of the body of Christ until Kenneth Hagin came up and said, no. That there is no scripture that says when you borrow is a sin. That there is nothing like that. He now said, but again, I said, look, read the whole thing out. Owe no man but love. That the debt a believer is told never to have is the debt of what? Love. Are you there? Are you following? For he that loves another has what? Fulfilled the law. Plerola. Can you see fulfill is the opposite of owe? So sin was in the world, it was not imputed. But the man born again discharges any obligation because he's led by the Spirit. He's born of God. He walks in the Spirit. Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given to us. Look at the same thing. Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. The one word there is reasoning. One word. He says, love thy neighbor as thyself. James 2:8. And what law are we referring to now? The 10, hope we can remember. James 2:8. For if you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. The word royal law is the word basilio, Christ's law, the law of the kingdom. So when you see James say, the law of the spirit, the perfect law of liberty, where did he start from? Be slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God, James 1:19. So therefore, laying aside all foolishness, pride, and naughtiness, receive with meekness that implanted word that you are born with. Then he says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. If you follow James very well, when he now gets to he who looks at the perfect law of liberty, the perfect law of liberty, or the law of perfect liberty, he just called it here, is the love of God. The love of God. He calls it the royal law. So you have the law of faith, Romans 3:27, and the law of love. God's love for us, the law of faith. That love working in us for others. The law of love. Are you following this? So, the guy who looks at his face in the mirror and sees how he is born of God, of his own will begat us with the word of truth that should be a kind of force of the scripture, and forgets, he lays aside, he forgets what he is in the spirit. It is the same way Paul says, walk in the spirit and you know what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. The same thing. So in the new birth is that forgiveness. In the new birth is that capacity of that believer. He has believed, which is how the Ten Commandments, look, believe in God, enter into his rest. Okay? Exodus 20. When you enter into his rest, then you will love your neighbor as yourself. The primary one is, first of all, what?
Believe.
Believe in the Son. Then walk in love. And this is the cure to sin. So the spirit within the believer, okay? In Galatians 5, I'll close on this, demonstrates to us is the capacity of that believer to correspondingly do what God has done for us in Christ. He does it in a corresponding fashion. It's called the law of the spirit of life. It's called, you know, it's called the law of the spirit of life. It's called the law of faith. It's called the fulfillment of the law. So in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. If we are alive in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. He uses the word stoicheo, a word used for a particular step. Let us take this step. You find that same word used in Romans 4:12 for Abraham, the step of faith. Philippians 3:13. He that walks in this rule. Let me just check that reference so that I don't misquote it. Philippians 3:13. No, 3:16. The same rule. 3:17, 3:16. Galatians 6:16. Rule. Just one. So, this is the confidence that we have. Same thing he said in chapter 3. We have a confidence. Our heart does not condemn us. Why? Because we have faith in the Son and we walk in love. Our heart doesn't condemn us. That's why I say this is the confidence that we have in Him. What's that confidence? I write these things to you that you may know, that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So, the cure to sin, firstly, is that we have believed in the Son. So we have a new nature. And now we walk in love. That cures sin in our conduct. It takes away sin in our conduct. When there's the love of God in it, it can't be sinful. When there's the love of God in it, it can't be sinful. The moment it will project self, selfishness, appetite, and you are in the center of it, then sin is glorified. So walking in the flesh is walking in self. Selfishness, sexuality, walking in the spirit is walking in love. We're done. Let's take our offering. So wait for the middle of the year, we take the law of sin and death and the law of the spirit of life in Christ. That will explain a whole lot of other things.